mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she.
It was a good night to be a Wisconsin sports fan. Bucks in action. Brewers in action.
Wasn't a good night to be a Bucks fan for about 3.5 quarters.
That's true. But all's well that ends well, as they say. So last night, Bucks and Brewers both in action. Brewers on the road. They end up winning their game. I'm going out of order here for effect. Because the Brewers game ended after the Bucks game ended. But in the Bucks game, they were getting absolutely worked by Minnesota. And the season is wrapping up, and there's a little bit of positioning occurring right now in the East, where the Bucks are going to end up, what seed they're going to have. And so you can tell that Giannis is, like, on another level right now. Triple-double, triple-double, triple-double. But last night they were getting absolutely smoked, worked by Minnesota. To the tune of they were down 24 points in the fourth quarter. And usually, Gabe, when the Bucks are down 24 points in the fourth quarter, what do we do?
Usually anytime anybody's down 24 points in the fourth quarter in the NBA, that's just not going to happen. It's not your night. Down 24, you just pack it in. Not your night tonight. Call it a night. That's not what happened.
And before we get to how things shook out, I want to bring our guy Joshy in here. Because Joshy, you've been known to wager, if you will.
Dabble.
Yeah, you're not much of a, you're not a dabbler. Dabbler is like casual. You're more than a dabbler.
Pot calling the kettle black right now.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't say I was a dabbler. So Joshy, tell us about the wager that you had on last night's Bucks-Timberwolves game.
Yeah, I made an interesting, Bobby Portis was back. We didn't even announce that Bobby Portis first game back from suspension after the substance that, you know, we went through all the claims of how that ended up happening. I made a bold bet. I said, Bobby Portis going to have a double-double. Did it. Nailed it. Played well. Was obviously a big part of that comeback. Was a big part of the Bucks being in that game. I also wagered on, as part of this parlay, Giannis Antetokounmpo to have over 7.5 assists. Guess what he did? 10.
I mean, that's pretty good bet. I mean, that seemed like the easiest one because He's been on fire with the assists recently.
And then the last one, Anthony Edwards, young star, young burgeoning all-star, a guy who's probably going to have some deep playoff runs, make a big impact on the NBA for the next, 10 to 12 years?
Yeah, next decade.
Fair. All fair. All fair assertions by you, Joshy.
He needed to have 32.5, more than 32.5, points and rebounds. He checked back into the game with 7 minutes. The game, I believe at that time, was either close to tied or the Wolves still had a lead.
The Wolves still had a lead at that point.
He needed 4 total points or rebounds in the final 7 minutes, and you would figure, hey, the best player on the opposing team in a game that's getting closer and closer would at some point score at least 4, grab a rebound.
Put the team on his back, yes. Right?
Well, the T-Wolves had a turnover per minute. He missed multiple
shots. You got nothing for the turnovers, right? That didn't count towards any totals?
Those are not for me.
Okay, all right. Those are just for Kevin Porter Jr.
Missed every single shot he took besides the one technical free throw. Grabbed 2 boards. Finished with 32 points and rebounds.
Hook gotcha.
Costing me $1,000.
That didn't cost you anything. No, you're wrong.
You're wrong.
You didn't lose $1,000.
I lost
$1,000. Win $1,000, and there's a difference.
No,
so you didn't lose. You just didn't win.
You're all wrong. You're all wrong.
No. We're all wrong. What?
No, I meant him. He's all wrong. When you are within the hook, and everything is done, and you need, mind you, there are minutes to play left in this game, and he needs one bucket. He throws the ball away once under the hoop. Just to nobody. He gets multiple shots and misses them. All while both of the other two bets had cleared. I'm in the clear on the other two. I need 1. He goes to the free throw line, goes 1 for 2, I win. He makes a layup on a meaningless, like, defensive misassignment. He grabs a board for one of the missed shots. I have $1,000. He did none of that. I have no $1,000.
This is so rough, and I'm not laughing at you, Joshy, but it's gamblers, laugh at me.
Kind of seems like
as gamblers, like we've all been there, where you're like, how? And as a fan, Joshy, and you are a Bucks fan.
Uh-huh.
That game, that fourth quarter was fantastic.
Unbelievable.
To watch. Everything went the Bucks' way, man. You mentioned the turnovers; they had as many points, the Timberwolves, as turnovers in the fourth quarter.
Yes,
8.
Uh huh.
The fact that the Bucks were playing good defense, grabbing the ball, they had uncontested shots. Their interest, like all of it, was great. It was so fun to watch.
Uh-huh.
Except if you're Joshy and you need one rebound,
I was celebrating it too, because in a lot of games in the NBA, you'll be on the ends of bets, and I'm sure if you've gambled at all in the NBA, there'll be times where your guy is the guy you have on a higher on a prop, an over on a prop. He just doesn't play because it doesn't matter, because his team's winning by 30 and they're like, well, we're not going to play our starters. This game's over.
Well, because when the fourth quarter started and he's not out there,
yes,
you're probably sweating it out a little
Correct.
Bit, knowing that you need those 4 points or rebounds.
Correct.
So when he comes back in with 8 minutes left, because the Bucks have sliced the 24-point deficit down to 14, you're going, all right, here we go.
I had already seen the money in my bank account. It was already there.
Is that the only way to get you to watch?
No. No,
you'd
no,
watch
no.
regardless?
I mean, I don't watch every single Bucks game, but yeah, if it's on, it's available to me.
I don't watch every game, but if it's on television, it's a pretty good chance.
Flip it on, see what's happening.
I'm just happy about the rain snow mix.
Ah, jeez.
What rain snow mix?
Did you listen to Debbie Lasagna? And it's not because I want you guys to feel pain.
No, it's because
I'm not coming back to Memorial Day, so I had to have a service cut the grass, and I don't want the grass to grow quick.
Well, I think we need to do a little context for all those who maybe aren't listeners. Debbie Lasaga works at WTMJ, and she does our traffic report. So in the break,
look,
you'll hear our music.
Let me tell you what. I was closer with Lasagna than what you just said.
I said her real name.
He said her real name.
No, that's not how she says it on air.
That's exactly how she says it
on
air.
No, it is not.
Okay, who are we going to trust in this situation?
Say it
again.
Somebody
who actually has met and talked and had conversations with Debbie.
I know Debbie Lasagna.
You
I
know,
love her.
I
She's
can
great.
Run next door and grab Debbie if y'all want. We can come in and talk into that microphone right there and tell us how she pronounces her last name.
Say it
name.
Again, Joshy.
Debbie Lasaga.
No, the back end is screwed up on you. Am I right or wrong?
You're not right.
Her name is spelled L-A-Z-A-G-A. How would you pronounce
close.
That?
If you put an S, that's lasagna.
You're missing an
Lasaga.
N?
Lasaga is how she says it, right?
That's yes. Jen. Yes. Josh, you don't say it well.
Are we saying the same thing?
I think Lasaga? We're saying the same thing.
They're the same picture.
No, it's not. It's not.
Lasaga.
You're too nasally on the back end. Jen, say it.
Again.
Debbie Lasaga.
Yeah, there you go.
So here's what I will tell you guys, and I know I've told you this story before, but maybe some people haven't heard it. I got reprimanded once, and you guys love hearing when I get reprimanded, so let me say it again. I got reprimanded once when I was in Chicago talking about Jaromir Jagr, because in the script it was talking about Jagr, but it just had Jagr, right? Once you have said Jaromir Jagr, you don't have to say Jaromir over and over again, so it just says Jagr. You know how you spell Jagr?
J-A-G-R.
Right. If you see J-A-G-R by itself, even in context, my brain goes, what the hell is that? It's one of those names that you need to see. Yeah. I need to see the whole thing, because if you see J-A, what is it? G-R?
My
brain was malfunctioning. So I don't even know how I pronounced it, but it was not correct.
Was it Jagr? Jagr?
My boss was like, Jagr. What did you just say? And I was like, I know. I should have put Jaromir in front of Jagr every time, just because seeing those letters in that order doesn't say Jagr to me. It's more of like, I don't even know.
I mean, this was clearly during your younger days. You were going out a little bit more. You said Jagr.
It's distinctly possible.
Yeah.
All I know is I didn't say the name
correctly.
Couple
Jagr bombs.
Point is, Debbie Lasaga might be a name like that. Debbie Lasaga, you need the Debbie in order to pronounce the Lasaga. Maybe that's what Chewy's suffering from here.
Yeah. Well, I'll take it from a person whose name gets butchered almost every day.
I thought he was going to say someone who butchers names every day.
Well, that yeah. too.
You are the world's foremost butcher of names.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Over and over and over.
Yeah. So I want to ask our loyal listeners this, because again, the Bucks are in.
Yeah.
The Bucks are in a bit. You're trying to win as many games as possible here to put yourself in a good position to get the 5 seed instead of the 6 seed. Take on the Pacers in the postseason, albeit on the road, and so. I'm not saying that these two things are mutually exclusive, but if you had to cheer for the Bucks winning that game last night or winning $1,000 on your parlay, what are we rooting for, gang?
Oh, 1,000 all day long. Twice on Tuesday.
This is tricky.
That's a big number. And when you look, I mean, you look at where the Bucks are in the standings, like, even if they lose last night, they're still in the 5th spot. Like, they got 2 games left against the Pistons, who that's the team they're trying to hold off so they can get that 5 spot and take on the Pacers. Like, in that specific instance, it's not the end of the world if they lose that. Honestly,
closer to the end of the world that I don't have $1,000.
Honestly.
On, by the way, we haven't given this detail on a $20 bet.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
like, you didn't bet the house here,
no.
Man. Like, it was like, let me just throw some cash that way.
Like, I mean, honestly, again, and last night was fantastic. I watched the whole thing. It was so much fun to watch. I enjoyed myself.
The whole thing?
I enjoyed the comeback. Yeah, I enjoyed the entire fourth quarter. I enjoyed the entire comeback.
I was having a good time because everything was looking up. The Bucks are going to win.
Relatively speaking, our boy Joshy was set to profit more than the Bucks were with a win. That's all I'm saying. Yes. Josh would have profited more by winning his parlay than the Bucks by winning that game.
I couldn't agree. I thought I was going to get the double whammy. Win and a useless bucket. You know how at the end of the games when...
Oh, you just chuck one up?
Or even like when the game is that far, because what was the ending? How much did they win by in the
7,
end?
110-103.
A lot of times in those scenarios, the defending team who's leading will just let the other team score.
Yeah.
And they're like, what does it matter? There's 12 seconds left. You take a layup.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do is foul.
Right.
Was the money already spent?
Oh, brother.
What were you going to get?
I was thinking, I need a new wedge. I was thinking, put one of those in the bag.
$1,000, you get a couple wedges.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, there's some things around here. I need to get a new blower fan in my car. That's only $50, but hey, what's better than replacing your car with money that you hard earned?
Yeah, sure.
Clicking some buttons and making some bets.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal. Mm-hmm. I am so sorry that happened, because I have been there where you are so close, and it's like, and like you said, it's on the last leg, and you're going, all right, we got this in the bag, baby. Mm-hmm.
But a miss bounces like an inch another way.
Well, yes. That's what I would say is that's where you were going to get it, was their shots were all off, right? And at the end, they're kind of chucking just to try to get in the game. All he has to do is snag the rebound.
Glances off the rim, comes right back to him.
All it would have taken is a long rebound for whatever reason just bouncing into his hands. Or he could score a bucket, because that's all he does. The guy scores tons of points.
He's a premier bucket getter.
T's and P's, Josh.
Eight points in a fourth quarter as an NBA team. That is baffling.
I want to put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning, just asking people, if you were in this situation and one of the two had to happen, you either win the $1,000 bet, the 3-leg parlay hits, or Bucks have that incredible comeback victory over the Timberwolves last night. It was an exciting... I put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy poll last night. Is this the best quarter of basketball this season by the Bucks? Yes or yes in bold?
It was the worst for me. The worst quarter I've witnessed in Bucks season.
Most painful, for sure.
Yes.
We'll put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Lots of stuff to get to this morning. We do have Adam Schefter coming up. Adam Schefter can talk to us about the NFL draft, everything that's going on in the league. And what is this rumor now that the Packers may not be going overseas, may not be taking on the Steelers? We'll talk about that with Adam Schefter and more as the show rolls on. Stick around.
You hear me talk about Bunzels every week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You really need to check them out, because they've got some great, fresh, all-natural specials this week. And look, I mean, there's a big day coming up. You know, maybe you want to kick back, have something, I may be talking about something that's happening this weekend, that first major of the year, but of course, Easter is coming up as well, and you want to take advantage of all the great deals at Bunzl's, like hand-cut Atlantic salmon fillets, $14.99 a pound. Burgundy pepper marinated flat iron steaks, $11.99 a pound. Texas popper bacon brats. Texas popper bacon brats. Yeah, they're that good. $6.89 a pound. And again, don't forget to order your Easter hams, the lambs, Polish sausage, or pork roasts. You want to make sure you get those in because that's coming up later this month as well. I love Bunzl's. It's where I go for all those premier cuts and just really anything that you're looking for. Just a fantastic meat counter at Bunzl's. So stop by 90th and Burleigh. You won't regret it. Find all the weekly specials and that monthly meat deal at Bunzl's.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But she doesn't know. Every now and then, I got the blammer coming up, and like, I'll let you use my tractor for two of the blue things, which I think's a pretty good deal, right, which gets me in trouble. Life.
You got a Viagra ring?
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as we continue thoughts and prayers to Joshy, who last night got to watch an exciting Bucks win, but ended up missing out on $1,000 on a three-leg parlay by one rebound or 1 point. Just rough, difficult. So we're putting it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Would you rather? Would you rather see the Bucks win that game? Get an exciting fourth quarter comeback victory back from down 24. I think I saw it's only been done like three times, like a handful of times. I don't know if it's ever, but.
I mean, it could be. Down 24 with 10 minutes to play. Like, that's yeah, done.
That's a lot.
That's done. That's over. That's, I mean, 24-point comebacks in the second half would be pretty remarkable.
Did the game matter to Minnesota or no?
Yes, because the Western Conference, Chew, is an absolute mess.
Really?
Like, between four in the West, between four and eight, there's one game difference.
Wow.
And Minnesota, by losing that game, fell from six to eight, so right now they're in the play-in because they lost that game.
I pulled up the article on ESPN.com. According to Sport Radar, this marked only the fifth time that a team has won a game it trailed by at least 24 points in the fourth quarter since 1996, 1997, which is when the NBA started tracking play-by-play data. That's wild. The NBA wasn't tracking play-by-play data until 1996, 1997. So prior to that, you couldn't go and like see what the play sequence was in a game.
Well,
in the
where are you going to go and find that in 1996, 1997?
Newspaper.
They're not printing that in the newspaper.
Somebody had to keep track of it. Just because it wasn't online, just wasn't available on the www, doesn't mean somebody had to be tracking it, right?
Obviously not.
Do you think you go back and do that retroactively? You think you go back and watch film and start and log it and track it and then...
I mean, if you wanted to, I don't know what the purpose for it would be.
I'm just saying, would the league be interested in maybe having some of those games, you know, locked up?
Turn on NBA TV in the, you know, in the middle of the summer and just watch whatever game you want.
One of the things that Joshy mentioned was that Bobby Portis was back, and the energy that Bobby Portis brings to a game is still so undeniable. Chew, did you ever have a guy you played with like that who just, when he was on the field, just his vibe, his energy, his presence made all the difference in the world?
Yeah. Bryce Pop. He did it in practice, too. I'm like, Bryce, it's a walkthrough, okay? You don't have to go 900 miles an hour, right? And it's an offensive period. We're supposed to win this. He just had that kind of motor. And it even spilled over because he was my roommate on the road. And he was just high energy. I remember we'd stay at the Pfister when we were playing in County Stadium, and the first thing he would do is, you know, we had our little fruit bowl with the apple and the orange and the banana, and he'd take an orange and just fire it against the wall. And I'd be like,
what?
No, I swear
like,
to God.
Like fastball style?
Yes. I'd be like, what are you doing? I'm getting ready for the game, man. Okay, good, because it's 19 hours away.
You yeah. had the strangest roommates on the road.
I did.
You didn't have
a lot of them.
You didn't have a single normal person that you stayed with.
Well, I had Yurko.
Yeah,
I love Yurko.
I don't know if I want to dig into the Yurko stories no. because
but Yurko, when they were building the Hudson Center, we had mini camp in Arizona, and he snored so bad. Another mental picture because he slept naked. Bad visual. I took my mattress and tried to get it into the bathroom, but I couldn't get it in, so it folded in the door. And I slept there.
Sleep taco.
Yeah. So then I booted Yurko, went to Bryce, and then I went to Jeff Thomas and JT. JT was one of these prim and proper guys. You know, dainty. I guess.
No.
Yes.
He can't be.
No, Chewy, no. Chewy, no.
He was very proper.
Oh, that's fine.
I'm not proper. I mean, I'm not proper.
He was a tight end in the 90s. Him. He's not going to be dainty.
I would torture him. Now, the room is based on seniority. Who was ever on the team longest makes the rules. So I would just do things like he's an Oregon guy. Thought air conditioning polluted. So I would turn it extra cold. The night before the NFC Championship against Carolina and Green Bay, I slept with the window open. Because I wanted to get my body acclimated to the cold. He thought I was, but I'd torture him like that. And then Jim McMahon.
I mean, you skipped over what he thought, but whatever he thought, he was correct.
Yes. And then Jim McMahon, who liked to watch movies till about 5 in the morning, and you know what kind of movies I'm talking about. And I'm like, Jim.
Not Disney movies.
I've got to play in the morning, okay? Okay, I got to play. Can we go to bed? Yeah, just one more, Chew. Just one more. I'd be like, he was the quickest one because I think he was one game.
Do you
but
think
he was also my roommate during training camp? And he would drink a 12-pack of beer every night. Maybe not every night, but a lot of nights.
Yeesh.
And I'm weak, so sometimes I would join him.
So you might have had one on occasion.
Yes. Yeah. But he was interesting. Great guy. All great guys. Love them all. The best, but a little weird.
It seems to me one of the worst things that could have happened to a guy during his playing career is rooming with you. Because here we are in 2025, and you're just spilling roommate secrets. You're just telling all kinds of
tales. I wonder
what
they say about me. You think they say, like, yeah, Chewy, weird.
I mean, we could call up Yurko. He does work for the company.
Yeah, Yurko, I think. Yurko was fine. Just snored like a chainsaw.
Well, and the naked sleeping seems to be something you weren't a fan of.
I think you snore like a chainsaw. I mean, well, I don't know, but I'm guessing.
Based on the stories.
Correct. Every time you wake up with a bruise on your arm.
Yeah, but you guys exaggerate things. And I mean,
who's the wives, who's you guys?
The wives, they exaggerate. They're the I once caught a fish this big. When the fish was actually this big.
Quick follow-up question here, Chew, because I know we have to get to Adam Schefter. Did your wife convince your buddy doctor, who told you that you did not have sleep apnea, but was with you guys in Florida this past weekend, did she convince him by the time he left that you have sleep apnea?
Yeah, a slight case. Yes. It went from no on the plane to when he left on Sunday. Well, slight case.
Well, hold on. Oh. Is sleep apnea a thing you can be slightly? I thought it's like pregnancy.
It's a one or a zero situation?
No. Because there's like 6 or 7 markers, you know, percentage-wise. And I'm not. He showed me. He's like, no, you're fine. Actually, you're better than 5, and you're above average.
Oh, yeah, that's what he said. He was like,
the best sleeper of all time.
I love it. All right, we got to get to Adam Schefter. And I guess we're going to talk to him about the Masters, from what I gather.
He's going.
Maybe more.
He's on the way.
Stick around. Adam Schefter's next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you have more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
It's always hard to beat a team three times one season. It just is. I wouldn't be surprised if they meet again. And I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay is in that game and Green Bay has a chance to win that game.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island.
He is Adam Schefter, and he is our insider to all things NFL. Adam, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing?
Good. It looks like you're at home. Are you en route to the Masters? Are you headed there soon?
Going this afternoon.
Woo! All right. Well, safe travels. I know some of our colleagues had a tough time getting down there with some of the storms that were rumbling this past weekend, earlier this week. I want to ask you what you're hearing about the Packers potentially playing overseas. Mark Murphy has been doing the tailgate tour, and I guess he said something along the lines of the Steelers might want to protect the home game that they have against the Packers. Do the teams have a say in which of the opponents or which of the games ends up being the international game? What is your understanding of how the international games get picked?
Well, I know this, that teams express preferences to the league all the time. We want to open at home, or we don't want to be home in November. There's concerts, you know, at the facility or whatever it may be. And the league takes note of all the requests that come in from all the teams. And I think the league tries to accommodate as many requests as it can. But, of course, it's impossible to do that. And if the league wants the Packers and Steelers to play in Ireland in the first game ever played there, which I would think that the league would, then even if the Packers don't want to give up that home game, the league may say it's for the good of the league and that's the way it's going to go. Now, the league may say to Mark Murphy, okay, you want that. It's important. Steelers don't come through Green Bay very often. No problem. We'll get – so, like, it's just a it's like bartering. It's chip trading. Like, what's important, what's not? You're going to give up something to get something. So I don't know where the league is going to come in on this. I don't know how the situation will net out. I would guess that the league would want the Steelers and Packers to be the first game in Ireland. I don't know if they view that as too valuable a game to place there, or they might say, you know what, that's exactly what we want to do, even though Green Bay doesn't want to give up that game.
Adam, do you do a mock draft?
I don't. No. I've been asked to, and, you know, I don't feel the need to do that. And it's a very hard thing to do. And if you get three or four or five picks right, you're doing well. And so now all of a sudden, you know, you don't know anything because you got 28 picks wrong. So I don't think there's any sense for me putting my name into that ring when there are so many mock drafts as there are anyway.
Who do you think will be available? I'm talking receivers available to the Packers at 23.
I think that's right in the range that Emeka Ogbuka would be there.
Okay.
I think it's possible that Tet McMillan could be there at that point. Possible.
Really?
I'm not telling you he will be, but I think it's possible.
Do you think teams factor in, Adam? Because you look at all the receivers in the, you know, in the last 10 years that have come out of Ohio State, there really hasn't been any bust. You know, there even like Olave, he's still a good player. You know, you got Marvin Harrison. You think that goes into their thinking like, we really can't go wrong with Ohio State guys. Let's take them. Even if someone may be rated a little bit higher at another school that doesn't have the same.
I think they've got grades on guys, and I think they're going to stick to that. Like, I don't know where Green Bay, you know, rates Matthew Golden or Tet McMillan or Emeka Ogbuka or, you know, how those things compare to one another. And I don't think, like, they're saying, okay, well, Ogbuka did go to Ohio State and they produced Michael Thomas and Chris Olave and Marvin Harrison. And, yeah, I don't think they're doing that. But, you know, it's all part of the equation that gets factored into the grade that they have on the guy. And by the way, the feeling you have on the guy too, probably like just an overall outlook.
Well, and I know that Brian Hartline, who is the wide receivers coach there at Ohio State, is very well respected amongst the league. Obviously, former player, but the fact that he has had such consistent success developing these guys at the collegiate level and then them showing out in the NFL, it's a little cachet for him as well.
Well, he's done a great job. They put out a tremendous number of receivers, and the interesting part is that maybe the single best one that they will ever put out is still there right now.
All right, Adam, like the draft, it's in a couple weeks. We can worry about that. The NFL season, months away. There's only one thing we should be talking about with you right
now. Yep, I agree. What do you think?
What's the first thing that you're going to do when you step on the grounds at Augusta National tomorrow?
You know, I think the first thing I want to do, actually, is I want to get to the gift shop and get a bunch of things and get, like, Father's Day presents and get you guys hats and things like that. See, like, I think
you
I want to go do that.
You remembered.
You wouldn't forget. Adam wouldn't forget.
And get that out of the way. And, like, I think they ship it for you.
Yes.
I think they do.
That's they do. When I was there in 2019, I did not know that, and that was, like, the best thing. Because then you'd have to walk around with, like, all the stuff or worry about, okay, how am I going to fit this in the luggage? Because, I mean, people, I'm sure, I mean, it wasn't just us, Ed. I'm sure people you know, oh, you're going to Augusta? Can you grab this for me? People just throw in the requests because it's hard to get to Augusta.
But, Adam, do you have, like, a game plan? Like, this group is teeing off that you want to see. I'll take them to the third hole, and then I'm going to cut across and go to seven, and then I should be able to pick up. Do you do that, or are you just going to willy-nilly it?
Willy-nilly. Like, you know, again, I'm going to meet a couple of different people. I have not yet picked my golfer for this tournament yet. You know, last time I was there, my golfer that week in the pool was Bryson DeChambeau, and he had like a meltdown. And I watched him for three holes, and I couldn't take it anymore because it was freaking me out. Like I had to stop following the guy. And by the way, like I haven't even talked about this, but last fall I got invited out to New Jersey. Jack Giaraputo, the producer of Happy Gilmore, invited me out for the day, and they were filming, and I got to watch them film. It was Bryson, it was Scottie Scheffler, it was Rory, it was Brooks Koepka. I was with these guys that day when they were filming, and I was watching them. And I talked to Bryson for a little while afterwards, and he was incredibly thoughtful, smart, personable, great. I didn't tell him that I didn't have the heart to say to him, like, I couldn't follow you that day that I picked him. Like, it was so special. Yeah. I mean, I picked this guy, and I remember being on, I think it was the fifth hole, and he hits it behind the TV tower, and he's doing this, and he's looking up, and he's got his hands on his head. I'm going, aren't golfers, it's like, aren't they supposed to have a nice, calm day? He's freaking me out. I can't watch this guy anymore, you know? And since then, he's evolved into this incredible golfer. I don't know who we'll be picking, but whoever we pick, I'd like to, if I can stomach it, I like to follow them a little bit, but I got to tell you something. I followed a couple of golfers that I've picked. There was one time I went out with Colin Morikawa, Jordan Spieth, and Patrick Cantlay when they were playing at Liberty National in August, and the PGA Tour had me come in and go behind the ropes with these guys, and I had Spieth, and I remember he made a birdie up one hole. I'm like, you! And I'm like, ooh, I got to catch myself there, you know, not to cheer for my golfer. You know, and every time he hits a shot that goes out of bounds, I'm dying inside. Like, I don't even know how these guys do it. Like, I get all emotional over my golfer. So I have no plan, Chewy. I'll just kind of go. The one thing I do, I want to get the gift shop out of the way early. That I do want to do. And once I do that, then it's just kind of wing it willy-nilly and go from there. By the way, I also want to take this moment while I'm on the airwaves in Milwaukee to personally thank Ryan Rollins, the Milwaukee Bucks guard, for helping me over the weekend. I was in my fantasy basketball championship round against Kevin Pulsifer, a researcher at ESPN who does a great job. And all I could say is I was down on Sunday night at the end of a week. I don't know if you know how fantasy basketball works, but it's nine categories. And our matchup was coming down to steals. He was going to win four. I was going to win four. It was all about steals. going into the last day. But at 8:46 Eastern on Sunday night, I was down eight steals. Eight. And I was in the second half. I had four guys left. White Lotus was about to begin. I was pissed off that I lost. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to send them a text now. And I don't like to be those guys that text ahead of fancy matchups being done because you never know. But this was over. Like, I was down eight steals. He still had Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges, OG and Nunby going. I had four guys in the second half. I sent him a message. I'm like, hey, congratulations. You were the best team all year long. He's like, well, a little early, but I'll take it. Thank you. Really worked hard. Planned this out. And then about 20 minutes later, I see Fred Van Fleet on my team. He gets two steals. And then all of a sudden, it's 10:21 Eastern. And I get a text from Kevin Pulsifer again. He goes, he said, I don't want to say anything, but Torian Prince just got a steal. I picked up Torian Prince that day. And Ryan Rollins is going nuts. I'm like, Ryan. I look down. Ryan Rollins, who hadn't had more than two steals in the game, had four steals.
Yeah.
Against the Pelicans.
And this was the equivalent. This was the equivalent of being down 28-3 in the Super Bowl in the second half and coming from behind to win behind four Ryan Rollins steals, two Torian Prince steals, three Fred Van Fleet steals, and two Andrew Nembhard steals. Like, it was wild.
All right. Josh, that sting a little bit, Josh?
Yeah, that one hurts. Huh? That one hurts.
Josh lost $1,000 last night, Adam, on a bet. He should have clearly won.
What?
Yeah, three-leg parlay. He needed the hook for Anthony Edwards. A steal or a point would have won him a grand.
Didn't make a bucket for 8 minutes.
You know how hard it is to get a steal. I got nine of them in the final 40 minutes. It was unbelievable.
All right, since Ryan Rollins helped you, Adam, I don't want to be seeing any of this Pacer gear, because it's going to be Bucks Pacers in the playoffs, all right? You got the Bucks gear. I just want to be seeing the Bucks gear, none of that Pacers gear with the playoffs approaching.
I'm just telling you, you know, look, I lost Dame Lillard from it. Ryan Rollins is my new favorite player. I'm just telling you. He will always be remembered. He will always be remembered as somebody that just saved my season.
That's great.
I can't believe in that entire story, which was wonderful, by the way. You casually dropped in that the producer of Happy Gilmore called you to see if you wanted to come out and watch them film some scenes for the sequel, which is coming out this summer, I believe, on Netflix. Adam, do you that doesn't happen to normal people. Normal people are not getting called to go watch them shoot Happy Gilmore 2. Like, were you excited? Were you like, I can't believe this is happening? Were you like, just another day in the life of NFL insider Adam Schefter?
Jenna, just sent you the picture. You could show the guys, okay? So you can take a look at that picture. You know, it was on a Tuesday. And it was like 2 weeks before the trade deadline. And I'm like, oh,
look at this thing.
I don't know if I
look
can
at this go. Picture.
I'm like, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can go. Like,
that's so sweet.
I mean, I don't know if I can go. Like, that's, oh boy. Like, I brought my brother-in-law and a guy that I'm friendly with. You know, those are the two guys that you don't recognize in that photo. And we walked out, and right. I mean, I knew it was one of those things. In fact, my wife, she's like, you're not going? I'm like, I don't think I can go. Like, I'm not going to go. She's like, are you out of your mind? You got to go. I'm like, okay. So we went, and it was like we're standing there, and Adam Sandler walks out, and he stops and talks to us for 10 minutes. And then we watched him shoot the scene with Shooter McGavin. And I mean, it was pretty cool, the whole thing. And like, I mean, Gabe knows how much I love watching these guys, and so to, you know, talk with Rory and Scotty and Brooks and Bryson, and I mean, it was pretty cool.
And Adam Schefter and Adam Sandler, it's like my two favorite Adams.
Well, you know, I got another great story there. I'm full of stories today. So back in the it must have been the late 1990s, there was this PR guy named Chick Namias, who used to work in the NFL, and he was helping do PR for a couple of movies out in Hollywood. So he had the idea to invite sports reporters like me, Peter King, Jay Glazer, John McClain, invite sports writers to be in the movie The Longest Yard that Adam Sandler was doing. And then not only did he have us film one scene, but he flew us all out to the premiere because that way all the writers and all these newspapers are going to be writing about it. It's free publicity for the movie. So you think about it, you know, if they put us in one scene, they fly us out to the premiere, what does it cost them? And they generate more than that in public. Very smart on his part. But I remember going to the premiere and I step out of my car. They had, you know, car service pick us up and take us to the Chinese Man Theater. And I get out of the car and everyone's going, Adam. I'm like, I can't believe the people, you know, these days I just made the move to NFL Network. They're watching NFL Network or whatever. Like, Adam. And I'm like, all right, turn around. And then I look around and there's Adam Sandler, like right behind me.
That's the way it goes.
Man, these people love the NFL Network.
I know.
Adam, we've gone over time, but I do want to ask you one last thing before we let you go. What are you hearing on the Aaron Rodgers situation? We're still talking about it. You know, we've talked about how it seems like the Steelers are the most likely destination. Will this thing get resolved anytime soon? Or are we going to have to wait till after the draft to see what these teams do with their picks? What does your gut tell you?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, I think the Steelers are still waiting to hear as well. And I would say this, that their offseason program starts a week from Monday. So we're talking about 12 days or so. So, like, it's not like he's got to give them an answer today. Maybe he will. Maybe, you know, he'll give an answer tomorrow or Friday when I'm on the course of the Masters and don't have my phone. That certainly could happen, too. But I think they're just waiting. And that's the only place he has right now. And the question is whether he wants to play there. Everybody's in the dark, as is appropriate in this particular case, trying to figure out what he's going to do. And it's not like Pittsburgh can move off him and go get somebody else. So they're just in a holding pattern. They're waiting, and we'll see what Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, he's got some reservations about playing in Pittsburgh, obviously, because they've wanted him all along, and they haven't gotten it done.
Adam Schefter, great storytelling this morning. We appreciate you. Safe travels down to the Masters. Have a wonderful time.
Enjoy it, bud.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you all, and thank you, most important, Ryan Rollins. You're the man.
We'll make sure that message gets to him. We'll make sure that message
unbelievable.
Gets to him.
Our conversations each and every week with Adam Schefter, brought to us by our friends at the Island Resort and Casino. It's a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact?
Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
He also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN.
There's a winning magic powering up at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. This April, prepare for an exciting quest to $300,000 in the Enchanted Spins slot tournament. Conjure your rewards card and play your favorite slots to earn drawing entries. Every Thursday, 60 winners will compete for thousands of dollars in cash and prizes. Let your journey begin with Enchanted Spins, only at Pottawatomie. More info available online. Must be 21 and a rewards member to play. Sorry, Josh, he wasn't trying to trigger you with the old Pottawatomie read there.
I don't think I can feel better than I did last night. So at this point, it's just become funny to me. You know, one of these times I'll be on the right side of these masses.
That's what every gambler says. One of these times.
I've had some pretty good success. Won some cash. I won a parlay, of course, code JGC. But the big ones, they're always just kind of slip away.
Uh-huh. Through the fingers, if you will, huh?
Yeah. We'll get there. I'm not going to stop shooting. Shoot or shoot.
That's right.
I'll tell you that forever.
Shoot to get hot, shoot to stay hot.
Love that. If you missed any of the Adam Schefter conversation, of course, you can find it wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, you name it, we've got it. And that was great. Great storytelling by Adam Schefter. Have you ever been in that situation before, though, guys, where somebody is waving at somebody who you think is you, so you like, throw a wave over, and then they're like, no, not behind you. Oh, yeah. That guy, yeah. I mean, in his instance, it was Adam Sandler who was behind him at the movie premiere. God, what a life Adam Schefter has. Chew, you've been to a movie premiere, haven't you?
Yeah, Reggie's Prayer.
Well, that counts.
They do that at Reggie's house? Is that where that premiere was? Straight to video?
It was at the Midway Hotel in Green Bay. No, but I do the opposite all the time. Matter of fact, I just did it a couple weeks ago where we were at a St. Paddy's Day celebration, and I'm waving to this guy. I'm like, hey, come on, come have a drink with us. And I'm like, Ange, that's Todd. She's like, that's not Todd. I'm like, yes, it is. No, it's not. And the guy comes over and is like, what do you want? I'm like, you're not Todd.
Get away from me, not Todd.
Yeah.
He's like, I know.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, but why didn't you trust your wife when she told you that?
That's a good question, Jen. Very good question.
It's a loaded question, but...
It's one that unfortunately doesn't have an answer. May never have an answer.
Yeah, she's just trying to look out for you, big guy. She's just trying
now
to keep
you
out.
Now she just lets me go.
Like, well, yeah, you stop listening
fool.
To her.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, I would tell him that that's not Todd, but he never listens, so go ahead.
And she's hoping you learn the lesson on your own.
No,
but she should
never know
by now that you're not learning a lesson on your own.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Go invite not Todd over again for a drink. All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to in the second hour of the show. Mel Kiper was on Wilde and Tausch yesterday, gave some insights, some thoughts as to the direction that the Packers will go in the NFL draft. We'll get into that right after this.